You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Nine-year-old Bailey Miller has always had just one dream, to do nothing, but her entire life has been about beauty pageants, thanks to her competitive mother, Miranda. Although the young pageant queen hopes to hang up her crown, Miranda is determined to make her daughter a lifelong champion, even if it means destroying others in the process. Comedy writer Kirka Butler explores the cutthroat world of child beauty pageants in his very funny novel, Pretty Ugly. It's published by St. Martin's Press, and I'm very pleased it has brought him to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're a writer and producer for Family Guy. Were you coming up with story ideas that you couldn't put into this show?
Well, this came from something entirely differently. I was it was during the writer's strike, and I had some time. And I'd always talked about writing something a little longer, something for myself. And my wife said, "Well, you've got some time. Why don't you write a book?"
Had you always thought of writing a novel?
I had.
Or short stories?
Yes. When I was first figuring out what kind of writer I was going to be, I wrote a lot of short fiction. And I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed the prose process and the detail that you can go into that you really can't do when you're writing a script.
And also, this is non-collaborative, except you and your editor.
Exactly, which was an entirely new thing.
You rely on animators.
I really, well, yes. You know, for something like Family Guy, you're in a room with 15 to 20 other people, and they're all very smart and very funny, and if you're having an off day, you're hoping someone else will, you know, kind of pick up the slack. But, you know, yeah, the book is just, it's just you in a quiet room, you know, pulling your hair out.
Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, and also... something else you produced, Cleveland?
The Cleveland Show, that's correct, yes.
He has many side projects, a jazz album.
He
also wrote a novel. So did he encourage you to do this?
Not really. You know, he was, he's supportive. He always has been supportive, but this was just something that was, this was just all me. This was just something inside me that needed, you know, I needed to do.
It takes place in Kentucky. Aren't mm-hmm. you from a small town, Hartford, Kentucky?
Hartford, Kentucky, home of 2,000 happy people and a few sore heads.
But there are beauty pageants there.
There are. My mother, when I was growing up, my parents were on the county fair board, and everyone was given an assignment. And my mother, for some reason, was given the beauty pageants. She'd never done beauty pageants. She'd never been in beauty pageants, but... Linda was in charge of the beauty pageants. And so from the time I was 9 until I went to high school, I was around them. I learned a lot just watching them.
Are they as competitive in reality as they are on reality shows like Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yes. You know, I think that it's a small town, small stakes. It's not like they were competing for, you know, money or anything like that. It was just the title of, you know, Miss Ohio County Fair.
But do they think those girls still become celebrities in this small community?
They do. They get to ride in the nicest convertible in town for the Christmas parade, and they go to all the events and wave and shake hands and do all that kind of stuff. So there is something to it for sure.
Did that ever tempt you to date a pageant queen?
So funny. When I was a senior in high school, the girl who won the pageant was the girl that I was dating at the time. And because my mother ran the pageant, it was a scandal. It was, oh my God, Linda rigged she rigged the pageant. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Bailey, your protagonist here, says she's lost interest in pageants, mm-hmm. but... she never really had much of an interest in them. This is all her mother, really.
Exactly. She didn't have a say. She started when she was 6 months old, I believe, was her first one. And eventually she realized that not every kid does this. And, you know, I would like to spend some time with my friends. I want to read a book. And her mother, but it's her mother's identity as much as hers.
And mother worries about things like her weight.
Exactly. Yeah, she does not want to be embarrassed by having an overweight child contestant.
So... Bailey tries to sabotage her chances of winning the pageant by binge eating.
She does.
She still doesn't become a fat kid.
No. She hides candy bars and her old trophies that her mother doesn't know about. She'll steal a dollar from her mother's purse when she's at a pageant to go to a vending machine and get a candy bar or a Mountain Dew or whatever, just anything she can do to put on weight.
Miranda, the mother, calls herself a former pageant queen, but she only won because the original winner had to give up her crown.
That's right.
So her hopes for Bailey is that she'll be the real thing.
Yes.
And live out her the dream she'd had when she was a kid?
Exactly. Miranda, she was second runner-up in her first pageant. The winner had to drop out because she got married, and then the first runner-up had to drop out because she was arrested for distribution of meth, because it's Kentucky. And
so is this based on reality, even though it's a very funny book?
No. I mean, you know, there are things in there that are real. Some elements, you know, a few personality traits from people back home, some names I've used, but it's not based on anyone, you know, specifically.
I remember reading about a former child actress, I think it may have been Anne Blythe, who never forgave her mother for depriving her of a normal childhood.
Right.
She was a stage mother, which mm-hmm. is the equivalent of a pageant mother.
It is. It's very similar. It is. You're pushing them to do these things that they don't necessarily want to do, and it's all about the mom, really.
And then Miranda discovers that the TLC channel is shooting a show that focuses on Bailey's rival,
mm-hmm.
And she'll go through all sorts of extremes to get her own kid into that.
Yeah, she tries to bribe a cameraman, hoping that will help, and then which kind of culminates, and she's lied about Bailey's age to get her in there, which then culminates in a big fist fight during the pageant.
And then Miranda is pregnant with a girl named, the naming Brixton.
Brixton.
Where'd she get that name?
She was driving home from a pageant, and she saw a dump truck that was filled with old bricks from a raised crematorium. And she thought to herself, oh, there must be a ton of bricks in that thing. And the words just started kind of tumbling around, and she came up with Brixton, and it sounded perfect.
And she has high hopes for Brixton as a potential pageant queen
as well.
She
does. She has her entire career already laid out.
Now, the characters in the book are very dysfunctional,
mm-hmm.
as was the family in the movie Little Miss Sunshine, which mm-hmm. is about a family that travels across the country to attend the Little Miss Sunshine pageant. Can we assume that most of the families that participate in these child pageants are dysfunctional?
I mean, I would assume so. I don't know that anyone who is mentally healthy would put their children through that. I mean, I've got two children, two girls, seven and two, and I can't even imagine doing that to them. But yeah, it seems like a mental disorder to me.
But dysfunctional families are pretty much the basis of so much about comedy today.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a producer who has done a fair number of dysfunctional family shows of his own. And I said, well, when I was a kid, Father Knows Best, Leave
right.
It to Beaver were about functional families.
Exactly.
But it seems now that there's a lot more comedy in dysfunctional.
There is.
Is it more realistic, or is it just a change in America's tastes?
Well, I don't know how realistic Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver actually was. I think that was kind of probably an idealized version of what a family was. I think that, you know, what we see now on TV is probably a lot more realistic than what we saw then.
And I suspect that there isn't as much real comedy in Well-Adjusted People.
No. People who are good at their jobs and people who are on time and people who are polite and friendly, they're just not funny.
My guest is Kirka Butler, who grew up in Hartford, Kentucky, and now lives in Los Angeles, where he's an Emmy-nominated writer and producer. His television credits include Family Guy, The Cleveland Show, and Gallivant, among others. And now he's written a novel called Pretty Ugly. It is published by St. Martin's Press and the Thomas Dunn Books imprint. Pretty Ugly because even though she's very pretty, the whole situation's ugly?
That's correct, yeah. The original title was Sexy Children, and St. Martin said, maybe not.
Yeah.
You
would have picked up a lot of pedophile sales. But.
Well, the problem with that was that someone said, do you really want your name associated with that on Google for the rest of your life? And it was a good point. I have to say it was a good point.
Miranda also has two sons.
Yes.
They get short shrift in this family.
They do. Junior and JJ. She doesn't know what to do with boys, so she doesn't do anything with them.
She has them homeschooled, although she was originally against homeschooling.
Right. She shuttles them up.
Is this something that gets discussed a lot in Hartford, Kentucky, homeschooling?
You know, yes. I was talking to some friends of mine recently who are really concerned about the public schools, and so they decided to homeschool their kids. And I was baffled by it because they barely graduated high school. I don't know why they felt like they could teach their children, but, you know, they're going to give it a shot.
And the kids are with Miranda's mother, who also has conversations with Jesus.
She does. It's her, yeah, she's a shut-in, and Jesus is her best friend.
is I don't want to give away too much of the plot,
right?
But Miranda's husband Ray is having another child separate from the one with Miranda,
correct,
with his 17-year-old girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the granddaughter of one of his hospice patients. He's a nurse and one of his hospice patients.
And he had wanted to be a doctor, wound up being a hospice nurse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a rough time after medical school. He killed 7 patients almost immediately because he just wasn't very good at his job. And so he went to nursing school to, you know, kind of use what little information that he did retain. And then worked hospice because it paid better, and Miranda spends a lot of money on pageants.
Can you ever imagine writing not funny? Is it just something that just is the way your brain works?
It is the way my brain works. I've tried writing some stuff that was a little more serious, and then when I get to a certain point, like, oh, that's interesting, and then I would put some joke in at the end that just kind of undercut all of it, and I was more entertained by the joke than I was the entire story.
Although, just serious can still be funny.
That's true.
And that's one of the appeals of Family Guy.
Yes, absolutely. If you take anything too seriously, it's going to become funny.
What about the people back home? Are they going to take any of this seriously? Because you depict Kentucky, at least small town Kentucky, as kind of superficial and uneducated.
Well, I was just there. I just got in yesterday. I spent a week there. I did 4 cities there on the tour, and people came out, and it was, you know, it was nothing but love and support. There were, you know, I think most people in Kentucky have a pretty good sense of humor about themselves and about where they're from. I mean, you know, I think they kind of have to.
Did they consider you a traitor because you don't have the accent?
No, I did have the accent, but whenever I go back, if I'm there for more than a day or two, it comes back. So after I was there for a while, it came back, and then I left it on the plane.
And what's next for you? Back to more TV writing?
I think so. We're going to see if Gallivant comes back, and I've got a couple of pilots that I've been working on trying to get sold.
And I've always wondered about writing for animated characters as opposed to real actors. Of course, the voice actors play a major role, but there's still a big difference between whether we see a human saying those words. Does that affect the way you actually write the script?
A little bit. You know, you have so much more control over things in animation. You have control over literally everything, every frame. And
how much do you, as the writer, do you sit there with the animators and say, make his eyes a little squintier?
Sometimes, yes. We'll write it out. We'll write the script out, and then we'll get the storyboards after the animators start, and we can look through and say, yes, maybe squint his eyes a little bit more. He needs a different mouth here, or something like that. It is. It's great if you're a control freak, which I am.
Does this go back to your childhood also? Were you the class clown?
I don't know that I was the class clown. I've always been a comedy nerd, though, ever since I was little.
There were no comedy clubs in Hartford, Kentucky.
No, there were not, but we got HBO very early, so I got to see Mel Brooks movies and Woody Allen movies and things that I would never have seen, been exposed to otherwise, and I just kind of fell in love with comedy at a very early age.
The book that we've been discussing is called Pretty Ugly, with a wonderful blurb by Seth MacFarlane, although I think he perhaps is a bit prejudiced here.
He might be a little biased, perhaps, yes.
He says the book is hilarious, and he's right.
He's not wrong.
It is published by St. Martin's Press in the Thomas Dunn Books imprint, and it's called Pretty Ugly. Kirker Butler, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.